Thank you very much. If you would, please take your Bibles and open to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Sometimes, as I prepare for sermons, I generally have a lot of study material, so I generally study people of the Bible. I'll study topics. I'll study different doctrines. But this sermon actually just came out of my personal Bible reading. I was doing my devotions one morning, and I'm reading through the book of Acts in my personal devotions, and I came across, after reading several chapters, obviously the story of Barnabas and Paul. If you've read the book of Acts, you're familiar with that, you're familiar with their relationship. But I don't know if we really focus on all the dynamics of that relationship. There's a lot to it. And so the title of the message this morning, if you're taking notes, the title of the message is Hurt Doesn't Have to Hinder. What we're going to see here is all of us have been hurt, every single one of us. If you haven't been hurt, you will be, I assure you, because everybody you deal with is a human. And we hurt each other. We get hurt. We take damage in this life. We hurt people ourselves. But that doesn't have to hinder the work of the Lord. The pain that we suffer does not have to hinder what God's trying to do here. And so we're going to be in Acts 15. We're going to read verses 35 through 41. I will pray and we'll jump into the message. So Acts chapter 15, verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I don't take it lightly to open your word and to proclaim truth from it to people. So I ask that you would speak through me. I ask that you move me out of the way, move my opinions out of the way, and allow only the truth from you to come forth. I pray we would each learn something today, that we would learn a truth we can apply to our lives, and that we would determine, regardless of what happens to us, that we're going to move forward for the cause of Christ, and that we're going to reach out to a lost and dying world and let them know that you love them, that you died for them, that you desire to save them and change their lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would not get in the way of that. We love you, and again, we commit the service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So have you ever had somebody in your life that you enjoyed spending time with? You just loved being around them, and you couldn't imagine that relationship ever being severed. Maybe it's somebody that you had invested in. Maybe it's somebody that had invested in you. Perhaps you watched them grow and develop in their walk with the Lord. This could be somebody that you walked through life with for a season and enjoyed being around them. It could be somebody that you're even currently walking through life with, but there's been some sort of conflict in your relationship. Oftentimes in relationships, whether it's a marriage relationship, it's parents and children, friends, brothers and sisters, especially brothers and sisters, there can be sharp disagreements. There can be contention. For us, when we watched our kids as when they were young, they disagreed about a lot of things. My favorite thing to watch a kid disagree about is when a kid does not want to play with a toy and just throws it to the side and wants nothing to do with it until their sibling picks it up. And then all of a sudden, that's their favorite toy, and they want it. And so disagreements happen. Disagreements happen with adults. Disagreements happen in marriage relationships. Hurt takes place. Sometimes those relationships separate. Sometimes there's just a distance that grows between you. Sometimes that person will go a different direction than what you think is right for them, or maybe you have gone a different direction than what people think is right for you. You may speak to that person from time to time, and you may talk about life here and there, but the daily fellowship is gone. What is an example from Scripture for such a thing? We just read about a major disagreement between Barnabas and Paul, but I really think we need to examine their relationship a little bit deeper and then ask ourselves what we can learn from it. To fully understand that relationship, we need to go back to how it started. If you know the story of Paul, then you know that prior to his salvation, he was Saul. He was a wicked man. He was a persecutor of Christians. He was complicit in the deaths of Christians. He had the church on edge. The church was afraid to gather publicly because of some of this persecution. It says that Paul would go into homes forcefully and drag people out. And several months ago, we actually studied that. We studied Acts chapter 9, and we saw that Paul would violently remove men and women and children from homes if they were worshiping the Lord. This is who he was, and this is the reputation he had. He was a wicked man full of hatred for anyone who followed Jesus. On his way to Damascus to disrupt the church, to bring prisoners, Christian prisoners back with him, the Lord stopped him in his tracks. And praise God, the Lord stopped me in my tracks one day. And if you're saved, he stopped you in yours. The Lord stopped him in his tracks that day. He saved Paul. He called him to serve. But as you can imagine, now think of this. You're a Christian. You're gathering with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, this guy who's been complicit in some of your friends' deaths shows up and wants to hang out. For me, I would say, no thanks. And if he decided to join the church I was in, I probably would have left that church and gone someplace else. The Christians didn't want anything to do with him. They were still afraid. They didn't believe. They thought maybe he's putting on a show. I would have thought the same thing. Saul got to Jerusalem. The disciples were very leery of him. I'm sure they just would have preferred he never showed up at all. But then Barnabas steps in. And Barnabas brings Paul alongside of him. Barnabas gives testimony of what the Lord has done in Paul's life. Paul's accepted into the fold. The record of that is in Acts 9:27. Saul was sent to Tarsus, which is his hometown, and Barnabas went on to Antioch. And when Barnabas got there, he was happy. He was excited to see what God was doing there, and he was so excited he thought, Paul needs to see this. And instead of sending somebody else to Tarsus to get Paul, Barnabas himself went. He could have sent numerous people to go get him, but he himself went. Part of that may have been because there were still some Christians that were skeptical of Paul. They were skeptical of his sincerity. And so Barnabas decided, I'm going to go get him. I want to bring him back. I want him to see what the Lord is doing. Now, if you've ever discipled a new believer, it's a good thing to get them involved in the Lord's work. It's a good thing for them to see God work in people's lives because it makes them recognize, hey, if God can do it for that person, he can do it for me. I remember when I first got saved and I was looking at all these people that were so much farther down the road than I was. And I thought, man, if I could ever be like that. Now, I know we shouldn't compare ourselves amongst ourselves, and that's not what I'm trying to say. But you see a mature Christian and you see how they handle life's issues and it helps in your growth. It helped in my growth. And I believe maybe that's what Barnabas was thinking here with Paul. He needs to come here and see what's going on. He needs to see the excitement of these believers. Because it'll help him along in his Christian life. The two of them went back to Antioch. They were there for a year. As the group was there, they were fasting and praying. The Holy Spirit commanded them to set apart Barnabas and Saul. They were called by God to work together. And that the record of that is Acts 13:2. The Lord had a specific plan for these two guys. He wanted these two guys to follow this plan. He wanted them to work together. It wasn't a decision made on a whim. At the church, these men fasted and prayed, and then God called them. They were excited about the work of the Lord. They were participating in the work of the Lord. They spent time with the Lord, and then the Lord called them out. And that's how things happen. If you ever see somebody that's kind of in and out of church, and then all of a sudden they say, hey, God called me to preach, be careful, because they have to be serving the Lord. There's a pattern to follow here, and Barnabas and Saul showed us that pattern. They were involved in the work of the Lord. They were moving forward for the cause of Christ, And then God called them. Once the calling on their life was clear, they were commissioned by the church. The record of that is in Acts 13:3. And much like we would see in an ordination services in our churches today, the church fasted and prayed. They laid hands on Barnabas and Saul, and they sent them out. I've been a part of some ordination services in the last couple of years, and I didn't participate in it. I was there and witnessed it. And they bring forth maybe a missionary or a young preacher boy that's just graduated and is moving on to a ministry. And the deacons, the pastors, will just put their hand on their shoulder and they pray over them. And that's what happened here. They prayed over these men. They sent them out. Saul's name was changed to Paul in Acts 13:9. Paul and Barnabas were preaching to the Jews together. And of course, they got rejected and they faced opposition. At that point, we see in Acts 13:47 that they were commanded by the Lord to preach to the Gentiles. They traveled and they preached and had many converts, and they spent time teaching and training in the churches. At this point, while they're doing this, Paul was stoned to the brink of death. I've heard some people say they believe he actually died. the Bible doesn't say that, but they thought he was dead. I'll put it that way. They thought he was dead because of how bad he'd been stoned. But Paul obviously paid a great price while he was with Barnabas for preaching the gospel. They tried to take his life. These two guys continued to move forward. They ordained elders in the churches. You don't ordain elders unless you spend time teaching and training elders. So Paul was investing himself right alongside Barnabas. These two guys are moving forward for the cause of Christ, developing churches, developing ministries. After they ordained the elders, they went back to Antioch and they gave a report there. But then they heard about a major division in Jerusalem. Can you imagine division in churches? We don't have that, right? It's unity everywhere. All churches agree on all things. And us Baptists are funny. We don't divide unless there's something bad at the potluck. But they heard about this big division at Jerusalem and that there was some false teaching that had crept in. And basically what was happening is the Jews were trying to add works to the salvation. They were saying, hey, you got to follow Mosaic law. And the disciples were saying, no, that's not what's going on. So Paul and Barnabas decided to go back to Jerusalem and to deal with the situation. And while they were there, after doing all this work for the Lord, they had a major falling out. Paul told Barnabas that they needed to go back around and visit all the churches again after they had been in Jerusalem. I would imagine that he was provoked to do that because he's probably thinking to himself, hey, if the disciples are here in Jerusalem, if some of the apostles are here in Jerusalem and they're having this kind of division because of doctrinal errors, that could be happening at the other churches. And you know, they couldn't text the other pastors back then and find out what was going on. They couldn't pick up a phone and call. They needed to go see. And so I believe that Paul wanted to go back and visit to make sure false doctrine hadn't crept in. And he told Barnabas, we need to go and we need to do this. And Barnabas was ready to go, but he wanted to take John Mark with him. And Paul rejected this idea. And Paul dug in his heels, and apparently Barnabas dug in his heels, and they had a contention between the two of them that led to separation. The record of that is in Acts 15:37-38. We read that. In Colossians 4:10, it's noted that John Mark was in some way related to Barnabas, possibly a cousin or a nephew, and Barnabas wanted to take him with them, but Paul remembered how John had departed or how Mark had departed. And he didn't want them to. He didn't want to bring him back. He basically said he walked away from the work, and if he did it once, he's going to do it again. As Paul's mentality, in essence, he had fainted in the day of adversity. Proverbs 24:10. He had quit when the going got tough. Barnabas, who we know had already come along, Paul when everyone was rejecting him in the beginning, that's sort of who Barnabas is. He likes to help people out, and he's saying, no, I want to give him another chance. Paul thought it wasn't wise. He thought that Mark was basically a proven quitter, and he was. He did quit. But Barnabas said, I believe in this kid. I'm bringing him regardless. And they just decided, okay, well, we can't go together. And there was a division, and there was hurt. But it never says that these men got bitter with one another. It doesn't say they hated each other. It just says that they had the disagreement, and that they departed asunder one from the other. The Holy Ghost doesn't allow Luke to elaborate on who was right. We know that Paul's record throughout Scripture, obviously, it's deep. I mean, how many books of the Bible did he write? Barnabas didn't write any. Barnabas went off with Mark, and that's he pretty much walks off the pages of Scripture at that point. Paul went on to write many epistles. But so the focus would remain on Paul. But in later years, Paul did speak kindly of Barnabas, 1 Corinthians 9:6, indicating that their relationship was fine. Paul would later write well of Mark, Colossians 4:10, 2 Timothy 4:11. So that tells me if Paul later on is saying that Mark is profitable in the ministry, that's almost an admission that Barnabas was right. But notice that the division, the hurt between these two, it didn't stop the work of God. Imagine had they gotten bitter towards each other over that disagreement and just said, forget it, and thrown in the towel and quit. Paul had been saved for a few years at that point. Barnabas, I believe, much longer than that. The hurt happened. The division happened. A strong, solid relationship was broken. but it didn't cause them to stop working for Christ. All of us have been hurt by somebody. All of us have. Some of us, if we're honest, are bitter about it. When we're bitter, and I mean this lovingly, when we're bitter, we cannot be right with God. We cannot be right with God if we're bitter. If we're not right with God, then we are hindering the work that He wants to do in us, first of all, and then through us. I want to ask you to do something that's going to be pretty difficult. It's going to require some bravery on your part. It's going to require some boldness. But I want you to think about the person who has hurt you the most in this life. I want you to think of the situation. I can think of several in my own life. Think about the hurt that you're holding on to. All of us have hurt in our heart. Ask God at this moment, even now, if there's bitterness in your heart towards that person. God wants to work in your life. He wants to work in you, first of all. He wants that relationship between the two of you to be clean. In order to have that relationship, the main thing is we have to be His child. We have to know that we're saved. We have to understand that we have a sin problem, or not just a sin action problem, a sin nature problem that separates us from a holy God. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. About understanding salvation, and we're born with a nature, with a sin nature that separates us from a holy God. But the Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God knew our sin separated us from Him, and so He came here in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. And He was born of a virgin, and He had to be born of a virgin because if He had a human father, the sin nature would have been transmitted to Him, and he couldn't have that. His mother, she was a virgin. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he lived 33 sinless years on this life, on this earth, and then he died in our place on the cross. The Bible says that he became sin who knew no sin, that we can become God's righteousness. That's a profound thought. That's a free gift that each one of us has a responsibility to accept or to reject. You know, people go to hell every day. But everyone that goes to hell goes unsaved. But nobody that goes to hell goes unloved. God loves every one of them. We have a choice to make. Do we want to be God's child? John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Have you called on Jesus for salvation? Do you know for sure you're saved? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven when you die? If you do, if you have that parent-child relationship with our Father, with our Heavenly Father, if Jesus is your Savior, there's a work that God wants to do in your life and through your life. So is there anything, is there bitterness, is there hurt that you're holding on to that is preventing Him from working in your life? Because if He can't work in you, He cannot work through you. This thought became real for me. If you know my testimony, you know that I've gone through some bad stuff in my life. And it started before my memories even. I mean, my earliest memories are bad things that were happening. And those things happened for years. And that led to, I was a violent person before I was saved. I mean, I had been hurt so many times behind the scenes that I wanted my outward appearance to be one of, I wanted to be tough. I wanted people to know, you know, you don't cross me. And so I did all my talking with my hands when I was growing up. If somebody said a cross word to me, I didn't ask them what they meant. I would just start swinging on people. And I had a reputation as a street fighter, and that's who I was around Pontiac and Clarkston and Waterford and even some of the northern parts of Detroit and Hazel Park. That's my reputation, was to take out my anger on people regardless of whether or not they were the cause of the anger. My reputation was I was an addict. I mean, I started drinking at a really young age. I started using drugs at a very young age. And there was a lot of hurt that I was covering up with this false exterior of who I was, with drowning myself out in addiction. I was trying to cover up hurt and bitterness. I didn't know how to deal with it. I was an unsaved man. I was searching for God, but at the same time telling God that I hated Him. I said, I believe that You created me and put me in this world, and You allowed me to go through these hurts, and You allowed me to have this pain in my life, only to allow me to go to hell when it's all done. And so I was angry with God, although I desired a relationship with Him. It sounds strange, I know. I got so bad that I thought, I was so angry at the world, and I was so angry at God, and I was so bitter that I thought, you know what, I'm going to go all in for the devil, because then I know at least if I get to hell, maybe my punishment won't be as bad, because I had this false idea in my head that Satan ran hell. I thought he was the chief of hell. I didn't understand what Isaiah 14 said back then when it talks about people squinting at him, looking at him, wondering, you're the guy? He's not going to run anything. But in my mind, I thought he would. And so I thought, I'll just go all in for Satan. I'll be as bad as I can be. I'll try to earn favor with the devil so that when I get to hell, it won't be as bad for me. That's what bitterness led me to. That's what anger led me to. But praise God, he didn't take his hand off my life at the time. I was on the brink of suicide. I can't tell you how many times, but the fear of hell kept me from doing it. And then I met my wife when I was 20. And we got married at 21. She got saved a month later. And that turned my life upside down. And in 5 days, it'll be 10 years ago that I got saved. And you know, when I got saved, that bitterness didn't go away. That hurt didn't go away. The thoughts in my mind about hope and the people that did those things to me, I used to wish bad things on them. One guy in particular, his daughter died, and I rejoiced that his daughter died because he had hurt me so bad that I wanted him to hurt. But folks, let me tell you something. While my mindset was like that, while those things were in my heart, God couldn't do anything with me. He couldn't do anything in me. I wanted to be used of God so bad. I wanted God to do something with my life. I wanted to share this gospel that I had received myself. I wanted my friends to get saved. I wanted my family to get saved. I wanted strangers to get saved. But there was a roadblock in my heart where God couldn't work because I held on to bitterness. I held on to anger. And I'm gonna say something here that's gonna be hard to swallow because some of us have suffered deep hurt. We don't have the right to take somebody else's sin off the cross and hold it against them or use it as a weapon against them. And if we're bitter towards somebody, and if we're holding on to hurts, if we have a relationship that's been broken in our lives and we're not willing to reconcile, then what we've essentially done is walked over to the cross and said, Jesus, I know that you nailed it here, but I need to pull it down because I need to use it as a weapon. God can't work in us at that point. And if he can't work in us, he certainly can't work through us. I'm going to say this, and I mean this lovingly. Your life is not about you. My life is not about me. It's all about Jesus. If you're saved, it's about Jesus. It has to be about him. What are we called to do? Everything that we do is for whose glory? His, not ours. You know how God gets glory in someone's life if you've been hurt? He gets glory when you love the person that hurt you. I'm not saying you have to go hang out with these people. I'm not saying that you got to, you know, go on a camping trip. You just got to forgive them. Amen. You got to let go of the bitterness. You got to take, you know, that stuff, it's taking up room in your heart. It's taking up room in your life. And you got to clear out that space and give the Holy Spirit room to move. And when you do that, God's going to do something with you. And hang on for the ride, believe me. After being a truck driver for 12 years and in trucking management for 7 years after that, having quit speech class because of a fear of being up in front of people, I never imagined I'd be a preacher. I just didn't think I would be. And if I had my choice in the matter, I wouldn't be. But God said, this is what I want for you. And so hang on for the ride. When you clear that space out and the Holy Spirit starts to work, let me tell you something. When God's in control, when God's the one that's steering the vehicle of your life, it's exciting. It hurts sometimes still. There's still pain. There's still people that are going to hurt you and maybe hurt people that you love. I'm not saying that stuff goes away. But what I am saying is our hurt, the hurts that we experience in life, even the hurts that we're holding on to right now, does not have to hinder the work of the Lord. And so do some self-reflection. The takeaway is from this, if you can take away anything from this message, it's that we need to decide today, right now at this moment, we need to decide to be like Barnabas and Paul and just say, you know what, maybe there's a disagreement with somebody, but I'm going to keep going forward for Christ and I want them to keep going forward for Christ. I want Jesus to have full control of my life. We need to move forward for the cause of Christ even in spite of the fact that we've been hurt. He has a plan for each of us. God has never looked at anybody and said, okay, you're saved, just hang on till you get to heaven. No, he's saying, hey, I saved you. I saved you because I want to use you. There are people all outside these doors that need the love of Christ. You know, you ever looked into the empty eyes of a drug addict or alcoholic? I've had those empty eyes. I couldn't stand looking at myself in the mirror. You ever looked at a young single mother and she's just broken, doesn't know what to do? Doesn't know how she's going to get diapers for her kid. Doesn't know how she's going to, you know, get food even or pay rent. You know, the people are hurting all the time. People get medical diagnosis that they don't know how to deal with. It's too much pressure. If they get a diagnosis of cancer or I know a young lady that just had to have a kidney transplant. They essentially told her, you know, usually if one kidney goes bad, you can survive with just one. But they told her because of issues with her other kidney, once they removed the good or the one that had gone bad, that the other one wasn't strong enough. And so it was life altering for her. And she was scared to death. She didn't know what she was going to do. And she thought my life could potentially be over or have to spend hours and hours and hours on dialysis machines. And she was broken. And she didn't know where to turn. She started crying out to God, God, do something. Do something. And praise God, her sister was a match, and she's getting one of her sister's kidneys. But when people get diagnosed with these things, they're scared to death. If they don't have Jesus Christ to turn to, what hope do they have? And folks, if you're saved, you have the hope that they need. And if we allow the hurt in our life, if we allow the pain in our life to hinder what Jesus wants to do through us, then we're hindering what he wants to do in them. Does that make sense? We put up a roadblock and it stops the work of Christ. Imagine what all of us could do collectively, but also individually, if we would just say, here it is, Lord. You can have my hurts. You can have my pain. You can have the heartache. You can have this bitterness. You can have those broken relationships. You can have it all. Take control of my life and work through me. Imagine what would happen in Sanilac County, in Lapeer County, in Tuscola County for the cause of Christ. There are people that we don't think would ever get saved that I believe will get saved. People never thought I would get saved. Trust me, I didn't think I would get saved. But there are other people that we know that we think, well, they've already heard the gospel. They've heard it once. You know, they heard it twice. They've heard it a dozen times. We need to get rid of the hurt, get rid of the bad attitudes, get rid of the bitterness, and allow Christ to work freely. Understand this, too. This life right now is not the life that we're supposed to rest in. This is not supposed to be the life where we get all of our enjoyment. As a prominent false doctrine pastor put out there, this is not our best life now. So don't read that book. If you see a book that said, live your best life now, don't read it. Read this book. Our rest, our best life, comes when we enter eternity with our Lord. This is a life of work. And if you've worked, if you've done any kind of work at all, you've gotten hurt while you're doing that work, right? As a truck driver, sometimes I'd have to get under my trailer and try to adjust the pins in my axle. And one time the spring broke and that thing slammed shut on my hand. And I'll tell you, that doesn't feel good at all. It's terrible. And I've watched my uncle when he was roofing his house and he hit his thumb with a hammer. And, you know, I was young when it happened, so I'm waiting for the cartoon thing. I'm waiting for his thumb to swell up and start throbbing red. But if you've done any kind of work at all, you've gotten hurt while you're doing it. You've injured yourself somehow, some way. We're going to get hurt. We're going to take damage when we're doing the work of our Lord. But if we allow that to build bitterness up and put a roadblock in our lives, then our usefulness to him is halted. So let me ask you, will you decide to leave that here today, or are you going to walk out of the building with it? If we're honest, all of us have something. There's something in all of our lives that we need to give back to the Lord. Heaven will be our rest. Heaven will be our rest. Let's move forward together until we get there. Decide today to leave those things at the altar. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this example of Paul and Barnabas and seeing how they could do so much work for you and for the cause of Christ together, but then also even after sharp contention, after a big disagreement, they didn't allow that to hinder your work either. They decided that they were going to still move forward. Even though not together, they still move forward for you. Lord, please allow us, even now, to let go of whatever we're holding on to that is hindering your work in our lives. I pray that today would be a freeing day for all of us and that we'd walk out of here refreshed, knowing that you now have the ability to work in us and through us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.